are Locked On MLB. Your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans. Welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast. We talk about all of Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. If you're watching YouTube, where is it? Where's it? Down here. Is that it? No, there it is. There's my logo. You can call me Sully. Today's episode is being dropped on the 27th day of September, 2021, and we're going to be talking about the Houston Astros, who haven't clinched the AL West yet. And do you know what? If they don't, then we're talking about one serious collapse if they don't manage to clinch this, because they got a, what is it, the bench numbers two with about a week left. Eric Heisman of Locked On Astros is going to be our guest today. We're going to be talking a little bit about what was a disappointing weekend, an inevitable clinch, and the fact that they pretty much know who their opponent's going to be. So it's a very strange week of knuckle-cracking and getting ready for an inevitable postseason matchup. This show is available on the free and easy-to-use Odyssey app. We're also available here on YouTube, and you can follow us on Twitter, LockedOnMLBPod, same handle for Instagram. You can follow me, as you can tell right there. My Instagram handle is SullyBaseball. If you have a smart device, tell it to play podcast Locked On MLB, or check out some of the other great shows on the Locked On Podcast Network, like Locked On Astros with Eric and H-Town Wheelhouse. H-Town, I do not believe, is going to be a guest. If he does, he's going to be running in huffing and puffing because he missed the bus. I don't know why he's taking the bus. We're also Locked On Fantasy Baseball with Scott Cullen. This is kind of wrapping up fantasy baseball time as we're in the final week of the season. And hey, with no further ado here, I'm just going to bring Eric right on board here. Eric Heisman has been a guest on the podcast for 2019, 2020, 2021. If all goes well, he's going to be a guest on next season as well. And welcome aboard, man.
Thank you. It's been a not so great weekend for the Houston Astros, but I know that the A's are a good team and they're a sleeping giant, so to speak. And the Astros had their work kind of cut out for them, but this weekend was a bad omen for they've got three more games that they're going to play against the A's. Granted, it's going to be at home, and then they're going to be playing the Rays, and they have a 5-game lead over the Mariners. So yeah, like you were talking about, this would be epic collapse. I'm a math teacher. It still is in there. It could still possibly happen.
Well, the A's would have to channel the St. Louis Cardinals, who may not lose until spring training 2022, by the way things are going right now. Look, at the magic number is 2 for Houston. They need, if they, all they have to do is not get swept by the A's when they meet again, and hope that the Mariners don't run the table. Those two things have to happen. I'm going to go out. I mean, look, this could be me tempting fate, and Astro fans already hate me. I mean, I already know that. I get lots of anger email because I've talked about the stuff that I'm not going to talk about today, because we've had that. We've talked about it, and we booed, and people have done their things, and there was a couple of moments that got kind of ugly. It's like, okay, everyone's got their booing. Everyone's going on, and it's probably, we'll see if, certainly after this year, I think it's going to be, save for a few residue, it'll be pretty much the venom will be gone. But that being said, man, I mean, just in terms of the drama this week, I can count probably 4 or 5 games just off the top of my head where the Oakland A's bullpen has had an absolute cataclysmic collapse. And if just 3 of those games were wins, you know, the screws would be tightening right now. But this is, you know, you are the teams you play. And I think the Astros are in a situation where they should probably clinch in the next couple of days. And I don't say relax, but at least know, all right, we're in. We can line our pitching staff up the way we want. We can give a couple of people rest. And I think that's an inevitability at this point.
The only benefit to this is that because they didn't clinch on the road, they can clinch at home in front of their fans, and they can kind of celebrate at home. That's always a good thing. But I think they did want to clinch as soon as possible so they can start resting the regulars. And but you saw a situation today where you have a kid like Jose Siri. He made a bad call. He ran through a stop sign at third base, and that could have led. You had Yordan Alvarez at the plate, and you could have had runners at first and second and third with two outs, and Alvarez could have come up, and he could have. He's been one of the best players on in the Astros lineup, and Siri is a young player. He's full of energy. We love the kid. And he's probably going to make the playoff roster. But Dusty Baker, after what happened today, he's going to have to take a second look at that and be like, I don't know. I mean, you ran through a stop sign in a very important game. And so the Astros have had to use a lot, especially with Michael Brantley's injury, Alex Bregman's injury. But they've had to use a lot of young players this year. They traded away Miles Straw for Phil Bonton. So they've traded a lot of players away.
They traded Toro, too, to Seattle in the Graveman trade, too. And playing quite well in Seattle when he came over there. It actually kind of was a better trade than I thought it was going to be for the Seattle Mariners, quite frankly.
No, I knew it would be because I knew as soon as that happened that he was going to come back and bite the Astros because that's just the type of player Toro was. He just didn't have much of a chance to play over here and because the Astros loaded lineup. So, yeah, the Astros, they have the ability to do it. I don't know what happened. Sometimes they play really good. We saw them start the season by sweeping the A's in Oakland. And then I'm not saying this is the end of the season, but it's like the exact opposite in this series. And I don't know what happened. It just, they got outscored 20-5 and both the last two games were close, but the first one was it was one of the worst games of the season for the Houston Astros, 14-2. That was the biggest margin of defeat the Astros have had all year.
Well, I want to just take a step back. You're bringing up Siri, and right now we have activated many people's smart devices in their home by saying that. Siri, play Steely Dan. But the idea that he would make – it was a bonehead play he made. It. Obviously, you know, the circumstance around the bonehead play, it was around third. It turned out to be a walk-off game for the Oakland A's. So therefore, by definition, one run here or there would have been the difference in this game. Wouldn't you rather he make a bonehead mistake that he can learn from in a game in late September as opposed to a game in the division series? I mean, like, sometimes you got to – maybe that would be like a learning moment for him or something where he can build on that. That humiliation of – making a mental error. I mean, everyone's going to make a physical error, but making a mental error like that for a young kid who has tremendous ability might be something that works in Houston's favor.
Yeah. If he makes the team, it's going to be, I don't know if you remember Derek Fisher, but it'll be in that role. It'll be the role as the pinch runner late in the game. And, but he will use his speed and he's got to know how to follow through. So for the people that didn't understand, but he was at first base and it was just a single to right field. And yes, the right fielder kind of lollygagged it to second base. And Siri kind of stopped at third base, then all of a sudden started running towards home plate, trying to catch the A's off guard. And so, yeah, it was kind of, in football, you would say it was kind of a trick play a little bit. But still, I see what you're saying. Have the kid take his lumps now instead of in the playoffs. You'd rather him make that mistake now. But, yeah, so it was just a bad loss. And it just seems like sometimes the Astros just play really good. They outscore the opponents and they pitch really good. Then you have a series like this where just things just don't click right.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you something. They're exactly. We had Stacey Gatsoulias from Locked On Yankees here the other day. And similar thing when we were talking about how you just don't know what you're going to get. That there have been times this year, well, certainly the Yankees went on a 13-game winning streak, then a 7-game losing streak within the next week. And the Astros have had stretches where they look like they're going to win 100 games, and they have stretches where they look like a 500 team, which I got to tell you, I'm, as you know, and as Twitter knows, I'm not an Astros fan, but that would make them an impossible team to bet on because you don't know what you're going to get. And by the way, if you're going to be making any bets, go to Bet Online. It's your number one spot for all your pro and college football action this season with a new updated site and interface and even more odds, props, and contests. BetOnline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football. So you head to the website, use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Don't forget to use promo code NFL100. From football, baseball, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Las Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline is your online sportsbook expert. And Eric Heisman, let me tell you something. I know that there is an incredible app everyone who buys gas needs to know about. It's called GetUpside. My listeners, I don't know about your listeners, but my listeners are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Just download the free GetUpside app in the App Store or Google Play right now, or after you listen to this podcast. Use promo code BASEBALL and get bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. That's 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using GetUpside. Just download the app for free. Use promo code BASEBALL to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on the first tank. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 to $300 a month in cash back, and there's no catch. The cash back gets added to your account. You can cash out anytime you want to your bank account, PayPal, or get an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free GetUpside app and use promo code BASEBALL to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. That's code BASEBALL for GetUpside. GetUpside. Don't pay full for gas. We're here with Eric Heisman. As I'm going to register that song at ASCAP, my GetUpside jingle.
I think it's already been rejected, Sully. I'm sorry.
Oh my God! Well, this is the tough crowd here. Very tough crowd here. I'm trying to get. Where's your graphic? There's your graphic right there. Eric Heisman of Locked On Astros. Man, I can't even get credit from Astros Twitter about my jingles here. That's what it is. Hey, for those of you who are not watching, right behind Eric is his Wall of Fame. There, I see a Jeff Bagwell print. Yeah. And a bunch of bobbleheads. Let's see is that a Clemens? I think I see is that Clemens pitching right over there?
There may be. That's Greinke right there.
Oh, that's Greinke. Okay. Yeah.
But I have a Clemens. I have several Clemens. I don't know where they are, but I have several Clemens. Well, here's a kind of ghetto one, but it's
Oh, look at that. There you go.
Where am I? So
there you go. Do you have a Derek Bell in there? I'm trying to think what other Astros
I don't
of the past.
I have a Derek Bell one, but for some reason, I don't have a Derek Bell. But I have a lot of old ones, just not Derek Bell or Sean Barry or any of those old guys. But I have a few Bagwells, but that's one of my favorites, the DJ Springer.
There he is. Well, look at, I talked about this. The last couple of shows, actually. So some of my listeners may be tired of me talking about this, but I'm going to bring it up with you because you're an Astros fan.
Okay.
If you take a look at, like, right now, the top three MVP candidates in the American League would be probably Ohtani, probably Guerrero, and maybe Judge for New York. I mean, he's had a tremendous year. The Cy Young candidates would probably be Robbie Ray, Gerrit Cole, maybe Lance Lynn. I mean, there's no like runaway front runner. There's no equivalent of Scherzer in the American League right now. But the point I'm making there is that the Astros don't have a legit MVP candidate this year. They may have a top five or top 10, but they don't have. Like even, Correa or Altuve, they're having, none of them are having bad seasons, but they're not having, no one's having a career year. And you look at the pitching staff, and there's some good pitchers having decent years. But as of this recording, this is a 91-win team that's probably going to clinch with about 4 or 5 days left to spare. Isn't it about time we all start giving Dusty Baker his credit? that this is a team that the reason I picked the Oakland A's at the beginning of the year to win the division, it's because you hate the Astros. Stop it. I picked the Yankees to win the division. Picking has nothing to do with emotions, what you like. I took a look at the Astros pitching staff, and I took a look at the A's pitching staff, and I said, I like the A's pitching staff better. I thought they were pretty evenly matched, but I thought I leaned, and I still do. Montas, Manaea, they're both better than anybody on the A's right now, on the Astros right now. And their lineup, while very, very good, isn't having that one breakout player. There's no Cy Young candidate, and their bullpen is okay, but it's not like this is they have, you know, Brad Lidge circa 2008 with the Phillies on them. So this team is playing better than the sum of its parts in so many ways. And let's give Dusty Baker a little credit for that. And I mean, would you agree with me?
Yeah, I think the Astros, the point with the Astros, if you look at up and down their lineup, granted the weekend wasn't a great series, but they have a lot of players with OPS over 800 and they have a deep lineup. That's a lot of teams can't say that when their worst hitter is their catcher, Martin Maldonado, and he has 12 or 13 home runs. That's right. Pretty impressive. Then you have a couple rookies who are kind of filling in on the depth chart there, but Altuve still has an OPS of 837. That's not what Altuve normally does. Bregman 804, not what Bregman normally does, but he's still doing good. Alvarez is kind of breaking out. He is that breakout guy. He right. reached 100 RBIs for the first time
and
this
Tucker,
year.
Tucker's having a good year too. Yeah.
Yeah. He has that 907. No, make sure that's him. Yeah, 907 OPS. And so he is kind of the Astro. I mean, I guess it's between him and Alvarez. But what a lot of people don't understand is how good a year Carlos Correa is doing. He's been kind of teetering up there with the war all year among offensive players. Mm-hmm. And I know he's kind of gone down a little bit over the past couple of days, but he was a little bit higher than Vladimir Guerrero and a couple of other people. I know that's a little misleading, so to speak, but that's just how it was. It just happened to be based on looking over at his offense and his defense. Because the thing about Vladimir is he doesn't he does a lot of DH, right? Or he plays first base.
Well, he's becoming a better defensive first baseman. He was a dreadful defensive third baseman, and they moved him across the diamond, and he's become a good first baseman. I mean, he's not Keith Hernandez, but he's not that, you know, put the lumberer in at first because he can't move either. But you make a great point about Correa, and I had H-Town on earlier, and I can't remember if it was one where I had both of you on, but I was talking about how I believe that in so many ways Correa is the face of the Astros team, certainly for the people who dislike this squad, but I think for Astros fans, he seems to get it in terms of what his role on the team is, and also the way that the team is perceived by other fan bases. I mean, he understands that, you know, they are in some ways the way the Raiders were in the 70s, the way that the Pistons were in the late 80s. Yeah. Well, I mean, like, and the sort of thing, like, you know, the fans are going to be with them. And he knows that other fans won't be. And I think that he has kind of embraced that a little bit, knowing his role on the team, which is why I think it would be an act of madness to not sign Correa to a long-term deal, because he means more to this team, I think, than the sum total of his stats, even though his stats are pretty good.
Right. I think what we saw, I believe it was like 2 or 3 weeks ago, he actually came out and said that he is open to returning. For a while there, it sounded like he was preparing for free agency, but then he kind of came out and said, look, I like this place. When we play that last homestand, it's going to be bittersweet if that's really the last time I play a home game there. So I think that he likes playing with Jose Altuve. I don't know if you've seen this, but after every game they win, him and Jose Altuve hug. That's something that you can't get with them. So. Yeah.
And I think that this is a situation where I think he will mean more to the Astros than he would mean to any other franchise. I know intangibles and things like that are not things you're supposed to bring up in free agency. And I never begrudge someone, especially Correa. I mean, I'm going to say something. Please take this the right way. He doesn't owe Astros fans a darn thing. I mean, whatever anyone thinks about the 2017 title or and everything like that, he has delivered big time. He has delivered big hits. He has delivered spectacular plays. He has delivered a proposal to his girlfriend in the celebration of a World Series title. He did lots of positive things in the wake of hurricanes, in wake of charity work, in wakes of work. You know, he's done everything an Astros fan could want, and he has every right to cash in on that.
Right.
And I think I don't begrudge him for saying, yeah, he has the right to try free agency, but the Astros should really, they should both realize that his value is greater to the team, and he is not going to be more. If you plug him in Los Angeles or in New York or in Atlanta or wherever he could wind up, first of all, he'll probably instantly regret it. And he probably, you know, there's a lot of things about both sides. It behooves both sides to work that out.
Yeah, it's kind of like not having the right parts for your automobile, right, Sully? Well,
yeah, it is kind of like not having your right parts for the automobile. And you know what? It's interesting you say that. It's kind of like go to rockauto.com. Look at Eric. He's teed it up for me. I wasn't ready to do that ad read, but here we are because I'm telling you, Eric, and look, I'm speaking from the heart here. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. So why endure often pointless and seemingly intimidating questions? And they're all intimidating for me other than, is this your car? Yes, that's all I know. And so what's that person going to do? They'll go behind the counter, they'll go tippy-type on their computer there, and they're going to go to the warehouse, and they're only going to buy the brand that they already carry. What's the point of that? You have computers. You have access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Now look it, you can save time and save money in using Rock Auto. Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every customer, and they have everything you need from brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even a new carpet. Go explore their easy-to-use website today to find the solution for your auto part needs. What's that website, Eric?
It's rockauto.com.
Well, right now, you see all the parts available for your car or truck. What should they write in their box so that people know that we sent them?
I do believe it's Locked On.
Yeah, right, Locked On there, because it's got amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need. It's rockauto.com. What's that jingle again?
I don't know.
rockauto.com.
That's all you, Sully.
That's all me. Composed by Paul Sullivan. All right. Thanks for teeing up that ad read for me. I did bring up the fact that Dusty Baker has been a Johnny Appleseed of division titles wherever you've gone. And it's not always been him inheriting a great team. He did not inherit a great Giants team. He did not inherit a great Reds team. And he inherited a public relations nightmare in Houston, and all he's done is everything you could ask for. And right. I think a thing that is, I think, really interesting, because we're here right now, and officially the Astros haven't clinched yet, but I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to go to Bet Online and say they're going to. And with that in mind, we already know who they're going to play. We already know that it's going to be a rematch of the 2005 World Series. Right. Which this will be the second time. Yeah, well, it's the second time in history that a league playoff game will be a rematch of a previous World Series. The 2011 National League Championship Series was between St. Louis and Milwaukee, and they played each other in the 1982 World Series when the Brewers were in the American League. And obviously the White Sox swept the Houston Astros in the 2005 World Series when Houston was a National League team. I still find it weird that Houston's in the American League. They just still feel like a National League team to me. But do you know what? We've been in lots of drama. We've got tremendous drama and everything. And sometimes you just got to, you know, I think the concept of leagues, you know my thoughts on this. I want to scrap the leagues and make four regional, like, divisions. You have the East, South, Central, West. And whether or not Texas fits in the West or the South, I haven't figured that out yet. They haven't asked me for all the details, but I just think that it would be more especially if they have a universal DH, then leagues are meaningless. They're just have, you know, have. I would like to see the Yankees and Mets and Red Sox and Phillies in the same league, you know, in the same division. I think that would be good for baseball. But anyway, that's a different podcast altogether. Knowing that it's going to be, first of all, two managers with tons of postseason experience with multiple teams who genuinely don't like each other in Tony La Russa and Dusty
Baker.
Yeah. And two franchises with history. I mean, that was a sweep, Chicago sweeping Houston. But for anyone who remembers that series,
it was close.
Three of those games were nail biters.
Right.
I mean, there were three really, I mean, the first game, the White Sox, I mean, it wasn't a blowout, but the White Sox took command of that game and won. Game two was a walk-off. Game three went 14, 15 innings. And game four was a 1-0 nail biter with the tying and winning runs on base. I mean, it was actually a good World Series. It's just the White Sox happened to win all four of the games. Jose Vizcaino got a base hit with two outs in the ninth inning to tie game two. There was a tremendous rally by the Astros at home in game three to send it into extra innings. Yeah, I'm doing this from memory. You had a guy named Brandon Backey, who I don't even think he even remembers he was on the team, matching Freddie Garcia, who was a very good pitcher for Chicago that year. The White Sox had a really deep starting pitching staff. Let's see if I can remember. It was Contreras, Garland, Burley, and Garcia, who all threw complete games in the playoffs against the Angels. I'm doing this partly from memory, but yeah, I mean, it was actually three very good games that just happened to go the White Sox way. Scott Pudsednik hit a walk-off home run. I tied him for home runs in the regular season, zero. And he wound up hitting two postseason home runs, one against the Red Sox and one against Houston in a weird walk-off game in Chicago. But anyway, but none of the players are left over from that. The Astros not only have different uniforms, they're in a different league. They don't even have the hill in center field anymore. But the fact of the matter is that both teams have a week to basically prep for each other. So they know they can just do the scouting reports. And again, Astros fans don't like me based on stuff I've read, but I will say this. I think the White Sox are not as strong as the Astros. I think the White Sox have some individual players that might be better than people on the Astros, but I think the Astros have better depth. And I think they've been tested more because the Astros have been in a division with a very good Oakland team, a competitive Seattle team, an Angels team that has talent, obviously, and a Rangers team that, while they stink, they're pains in the neck because they're like gnats, they hang around you. And the Central has been, especially since Kansas City collapsed and the Indians got so many injuries, they kind of stink. And the White Sox have a very good record beating up the Twins and the Tigers and a very bad record against teams with a winning record. So I think the Astros have a very, very good chance to get to the American League Championship Series.
I guess the key to the ALDS will be Zach Greinke, because Greinke struggles versus right-handed hitters, and the White Sox are loaded with them. So that's something that you would have to look out for. The Astros have a lot of starters, not enough spots to start them in. And so you may...
Starting pitchers,
yeah. Okay, yeah. Because you definitely want Lance McCullers going. You definitely want Framber Valdez going. And you definitely want Dusty Baker being Dusty. You want to go ahead and give Zach Greinke the ball because he's a veteran and what he's done in the playoffs before. Then you, like, who do you go with from there? Do you go with Jake Odorizzi because you're paying him a lot of money? Do you go with Luis Garcia because he's a potential Rookie of the Year candidate? Do you go with the guy who's proven in the past? He's pitched some great games in the playoffs in Jose Urquidy. So you've got some options that you could do in the playoffs. So Dusty Baker has a lot of big decisions, but those decisions will impact on how they do versus White Sox, because the White Sox do have a deep lineup.
They do. Well, and where does Framber Valdez fit in all this? I mean, is he going to be used out of the pen? Is he going to get a start?
No, he's going to be number two pitcher. I think they're going to slot him between McCullers and Greinke probably. just to kind of go right, left, right, or something like that. No, so he is the second ace.
Greinke is still on the IL though, right?
At this point? But he should be fine by then. Some of us Astros fans believe this is a this is kind of a conspiracy just to give him some rest to get him ready for the playoffs.
Rodney Dangerfield in Caddyshack. Oh, my arm. I think it's broken.
Yeah. So yeah. I know he had that COVID situation and he came back and he had some more oomph on his fastball. And so maybe the Astros saw that and be like, okay, well, if we rest him for a little bit before the playoffs, maybe maybe he'll kind of come back a little bit better. So
one of the things that I think will be maybe interesting for this week along those lines is like if you line up, Greinke should obviously get a start. Valdez should get a start. And maybe I'm a sucker for veterans who've been there and done that, but I would give McCullers a start. But
no, he's a game one starter.
Yeah, good. I don't know the team as well as you do.
Yeah.
But there's some question marks in their bullpen. And I wonder if this is the time to sort of say, all right, let's see what Odorizzi can do out of the pen. You know, let's see if what Garcia can do out of the pen, what Christian Javier can do. Well, Javier's been usually being.
Yeah, he's in the pen right now.
Yeah, okay. So, but I wonder if this is a time to mix and match some players to see what they could do in their roles, because you're going to have to use some players a little bit out of their comfort zone, especially trying to, you know, Valdez is, he's their only lefty, right?
Right, he's the only lefty in their rotation. Yeah. Then you have Blake Taylor, and then you have
Yimi Garcia? Is he?
No, Yimi's not. He's a right-hander. Brooks Raley.
I couldn't remember his name.
But he's actually red hot right now, and he's become one of the Astros' best relievers. But with Odorizzi, he did pitch one game this year out of bullpen, and he actually pitched four innings, and it was shutout innings. So he can be that guy that comes out of bullpen. We've seen Urquidy do this in the playoffs. He's come out of the bullpen. We've also seen Luis Garcia come out of bullpen. So
you saw last year against Minnesota, Christian Javier basically saved their postseason by coming out. And that was one of the gutsiest moves that Dusty made, especially because remember they were I think the Twins loaded the bases at one. Like it was like they won the two games against Minnesota, but the first game looked like it was going to be a Twins victory. And they brought out Javier and he wound up pitching the final three or four innings and getting the win out of the bullpen. And that basically pulled the rug out from underneath Minnesota and allowed them to go to Oakland. And he kept leaning on Javier. And I now have his page up on baseballreference.com, the single greatest website in the history of the planet Earth. And going into the ALCS, Javier won two games out of the bullpen and had thrown 6 1/3 shutout innings of relief. And he didn't fare as well against Tampa in the league championship series, but he helped pitch him into that. And I wonder if that's if Dusty, you know, he knows he's done that already, if he could lean on him a little hard the way he leaned on him in last year's playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we can kind of see like what AJ Hinch did in 2017 bullpen. I mean, Yimi Garcia has not looked great. Phil Maton has not looked great. Kendall Graveman has kind of declined recently, too. He doesn't have the same movement he did when he came over. I don't know.
Well, he was out in Seattle, and he's been mediocre from what I've seen. He's not been great since the trade from Seattle to Houston.
Right. So there's something up. It's either the Astros overcoached him or are not they're not reacting to what's going on. So I don't know the situation here. Maybe he's bored. I don't know. There's got to be some reason why he's struggling.
I have a personal theory. It's not based on any science. It's not really based on knowledge or facts. But because of that, I believe it to be true. You look at Kendall Graveman, a normal Kendall Graveman year. He's had a couple of okay years. He had one okay year with Oakland, but he's never had a great year. And then he wound up having a spectacular first half with Seattle, and he's kind of, and he's going to wind up having good stats for the whole year, but in the end, he's an okay pitcher who had a great first half.
Right.
And he's now back to being okay. So he's kind of going back to who he is. Maybe he's not a pitcher. His ERA in Seattle was under one. He's not that kind of a reliever. You know, he's a good, solid reliever who happened to have a great first half in Seattle, and now he's playing back to his baseball card.
But going back to the ALDS, looking at the rotation for the White Sox, then Carlos Rondon would be the biggest key. How healthy is he? I know that he left that game with arm soreness, and they're probably going to have him pitch one more start. But how deep can he go? I know it's in the playoffs. You throw everything you can to win. But they also have Lance Lynn, Lucas Giolito, and Dylan Cease. So they do have a pretty good rotation overall. So that's going to be key. So it's going to be a clash of the Titans, so to speak. But at the same time, I don't know if I want the Astros to overtake the Rays and get the number one seed. As much as I would like the...
They're not going to.
I'll tell you what they have to do in a second. But as much as I would like to have the home field advantage in the ALCS, if they get there, I mean, it's just to face those wild card teams. We've seen that in past where the Washington Nationals, when they beat the Astros in the World Series, that those wild card teams, they get hot. And then they just kind of plow their way through the playoffs. But the Astros could technically still catch them. But the Rays have to go 0-6, and the Astros basically have to go 6-0. So there's a chance.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Jim Carrey and Dumb and Dumber. no, I think everyone knows the line, how it's going to be lined up. I think that it's going to be, you know, whichever team gets out of the wild card is probably going to get clobbered by Tampa. And I think, you know, I'm going to make a pick. I mean, I know it's kind of dangerous to make because it's not my official pick. But right now I think that I do think the Astros are, I have issues with the White Sox starting staff, especially if Rodon is injured. And Lance Lynn, who had an unbelievably great first half, has regressed a little bit. Wouldn't be wild if Dallas Keuchel becomes a factor, but he's been a big disappointment this year. I like the parts of Houston right now better than Chicago's, and I think Houston will beat Chicago in four. That's my pick, and I think that the third straight year, I think Houston's going to play Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
And the first two series were great. the division series in 2019 went the distance. Last year's league championship series, of course, went the distance in front of cardboard cutouts in San Diego. But I think this would be a Houston-Tampa Bay league series would be a lot of fun. I think it would be just good, fun baseball, whether or not you like Tampa Bay, whether or not you like Houston, and the emotion you have just to watch fun baseball. I think it will be a lot of fun. I do say, full disclosure, I don't see any team beating the Rays four times out of seven. I think if any team's going to upset the Rays, it's going to be a wild card team beating them three out of five. And we've seen plenty, like San Francisco in 2014, the same thing they did to Washington. You know, you see sometimes a team or Kansas City doing that to the Angels in the same year, 2014. You'll see a team get hot after the wild card game. Or what the Yankees did to Cleveland in 2017, right? Yeah, because then the Yankees wound up playing Houston in that ALCS. Yeah.
So do you think that Rob Manfred at all is kind of hoping that the Astros play the Dodgers again this year?
I think Rob Manfred wants the Yankees to play the Dodgers. I think that's what he wants, or the Red Sox, because they have no imagination. I personally think that an Astros-Dodgers World Series would be unbelievably dramatic. And it'd be funny that you would have, you know, Greinke had some of his best years with Los Angeles, and Dusty Baker won a ring as a player for the LA Dodgers. I've made no bones about my feelings about the Astros. I will say that if this team wins the World Series, first of all, they've earned it. Secondly, I love Dusty Baker. And I also really like Zach Greinke. Zach Greinke is one of my favorite players in baseball. I also like Michael Brantley. I find Michael Brantley to be a really good player. I know he's injured right now. But if the Astros win the World Series this year, there are enough positive stories for me, at least, to find a little bit of joy. The biggest joy would be seeing Dusty Baker win a ring as a manager. And when people have to then take a step back and say, is he a Hall of Famer? What else does he have to do? And if he wins, especially with the scrutiny and the spotlight on this particular situation, and to turn this around, I'm not saying it will be the feel-good story. I think we just all heard Stacey Gottsulia's vomit all over her computer. But I think LA Houston would be incredibly dramatic. And it would probably be a really good series, even though I can't imagine anyone beating us, winning a series that Max Scherzer gets more than one started, just for the way that he's just pitching on another level. But then again, we've had instances where Kershaw has pitched at a different level, or Verlander's pitched at a different level, or Pedro Martinez has pitched on a different level, or Randy Johnson or Greg Maddux has pitched on different levels in the regular season, only to lose critical postseason games. So it's not always the best metric for that.
Yeah, and you brought up Dusty Baker and Michael Brantley. I just want to bring up a quote that Dusty Baker had about Michael Brantley. This is what he had to say. This kind of, I kind of do a Thoughts by Dusty segment on my show. So this is what he had to say. I told you yesterday, you don't just heal overnight. So he's in the same place he was yesterday. So
that's profound. That's almost a haiku.
Yeah.
That's so, almost the correct meter of a haiku.
Right. So it just, what he says is sometimes just hilarious. Just reading it back, and just, we're going to miss him if this is his last year, but at the same time, a lot of people in Houston think that it's time for him, us to have a new manager in Houston. So
yeah. Dusty's in his, whenever you get a manager that's in their 70s, if they win the World Series, then obviously there's nothing left to prove. But he's been managing since 1993.
Right.
And, has taken the Giants to the postseason three times, Cubs to the NLCS, the Reds to the postseason three times, Nationals to the postseason twice, now Houston postseason twice. This is his fourth decade of bringing a team to the postseason. And if he wants to hang, he's earned the right to hang him up. He's earned the right. And, I'm such a Bruce Bochy fan from what he did in San Francisco. I know that he's not going to take over the Astros, even though he was a former Astro. I'm just a big believer that he has three lieutenants that I cannot believe have not been hired as manager, because like all the Giants did was win, and he had three lieutenants who were there by his side. I thought, well, someone swipe up one of those ones. Ron Wotus is one of them, Roberto Kelly, and Hensley Bam Bam Mullins. And Hensley Bam Bam Mullins has managed in like the World Baseball Classic, and I think Roberto Kelly is in, I think he's still in the Giants organization, I'm not 100% sure. But like those are three managers. Like give those three have earned a chance. Those three have earned the right to be a manager. And whenever there's an opening, I'm always like, give one of them a shot. Give one of them a shot. And I don't know if there's anybody in the wings in the Houston organization like coming up through the, who's in there.
Joe Espada, the current bench coach.
That's right, he was up for a bunch of jobs himself, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Okay, so he's probably the front runner, right?
Yeah, I think there a lot of people are thinking that Dusty's kind of grooming him, but they may go look outside, see who's there. But this guy knows the team, he kind of knows the organization, he knows the way they do things, so we'll have to see what happens.
And you had to have someone like Dusty for last year, for just the mess that was going on. You couldn't throw a rookie manager into that situation. We saw what happened with the Red Sox when, I mean, not that Ron Renicki was a rookie manager, but they threw him into that situation. He just, he was like a fish on the dock, and just was, and things spiraled out of control. You needed someone who not only was a been there, done that manager, but also had nothing to do with the organization. They needed that, just a complete outsider that people liked. And so, I mean, he was a no-brainer. And as it comes to pass, he's probably going to take the team to the ALCS in back-to-back years. So, you know, not only does it, you know, does it help to move on from the big mess that happened beforehand, but, you know, you guys get to have some playoff ball.
Yeah, I'm excited. And I had foot surgery, so I get my cast off. And then hopefully I can walk and go to the game. I got game two tickets, so we'll see if I can actually go. So,
Oh, good. We'll have fun there, and maybe we'll do a dispatch. But, Eric, where can people listen to you and H-Town talk Astros all year long?
Well, we're on YouTube, so you can go ahead and subscribe to us on YouTube at Locked On Astros. We are on Twitter at Locked On Astros. You can find me at Eric Talkstros. You can find H-Town Wheelhouse at H-Town Wheelhouse. And you can just find us on Odyssey, Apple, wherever you listen to your podcast. Just listen to Locked On Astros podcast.
And let me just say that, as a lot of us at Lockdown are hopping on to YouTube, you and H-Town were the Lewis and Clark, just out of the first ones in, and doing great, great work there. And so, continue doing the great work, and we'll, you know, see what happens in the postseason. And, and just so you know, for those of you who feel that betting on baseball is a guessing game, it doesn't have to be. If you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast, hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling, you get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get your podcasts. Talking about the Houston Astros and they're inevitable. There is no way they can fold down the stretch. Postseason hopes, rematch of the World Series, and the meaning of Carlos Correa with Eric Heisman of Locked On Astros. This is Locked On MLB for the 27th day of September, 2021. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.